All right, very good. And I think we have a special this morning. So.
There's a slight baby delay.
All right, here she comes. Well, I'm glad to have my friends Mark and Anna, their baby, of course, with us today. They're going to help us sing a song. I guess we should get the words out, huh? Yeah. Be thou my vision. Good old hymn. Be thou my vision.
So go ahead and have our young people be dismissed to Children's Church. And so all of our young people up through fourth grade, you can head on back to Children's Church. All of our young people, they are ready for you back there. All right. Let's take our Bibles this morning, and we're going to be in several places. In fact, I have a lot of scripture this morning for you, and this is a Bible-preaching church. Amen? And that's what we base our messages of from around here is the Word of God. But we're going to start in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Now, we've been talking about today. Today is called I Love the Son Sunday. And so this morning, I want to preach to you for a few moments on this subject, what you really need to know about the Son. What you really need to know about the Son. And of course, as I said earlier, not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N. The S-O-N, the Son of God. 1 John chapter 4, if you find your place, as our custom is around here, please stand with me for the reverence of the reading of the Word of God. 1 John chapter 4, and I'm going to read beginning in verse 9, read down through verse 15. The Bible says this, "And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us his Spirit, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Let's pray. Lord, we sure do love you this morning. And Jesus, we thank you that you are the Son. We thank you, Lord, that the Son of God became the Son of Man. Thank you for being our Savior. And Lord, we just want to glorify your name this morning. Lord Jesus, I just want to lift you up. And I pray that you'd help me as I preached. And Lord, when this thing's said and done, that you'd receive glory and honor. We pray, Lord, that you'd meet with us this morning. God, I pray as I do every Sunday, if there's someone here under the sound of my voice that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, Lord, may they accept you before it's eternally too late. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as Christians to allow the Word of God to change us and help us and make us what we ought to be for you. We just want to say we love you. We thank you for it. We ask it in your precious and holy name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. What you really need to know about the Son. Well, something big is supposedly happening tomorrow, all right? And I've been hearing about this. I've been reading about this. I've been seeing billboards about this for the past year. And here we are right at 24 hours away from this event, a little over 24 hours away from this event. Tomorrow is what's known as the Great American Eclipse. It will visit North America on April the 8th, 2024. The duration of what they call totality will be up to 4 minutes and 27 seconds, almost double that of the Great American Eclipse of August 21st, 2017. How many remember that eclipse? I remember where I was at that day. I was actually, Brother Bob Bean, one of our dear members, was having hip replacement surgery that day, and I was at the hospital, and me and his wife and maybe a family member went outside the hospital down there at Evansville at Deaconess, and we stood out in the parking lot, and we safely viewed that eclipse. Amen. I had to put that in there. Amen. Remember, I don't want to get sued for these if these eclipse glasses don't work. All right. But I remember that day, 2017. That eclipse was witnessed by about 20 million people from Oregon to South Carolina. But they say that the 2024 Great American Eclipse is to be witnessed by many millions more. Our area will be in the path of totality. It will start, the eclipse will begin around 12:45 p.m. and end at 3:20 p.m. with totality beginning at 2:02 p.m. So you may be asking to yourself, what in the world does this eclipse mean? There's been a lot of stuff out there. I've heard a lot of crazy things, all the way from the coming forth of the lizard people, all right, to the everybody that got vaxxed is dying, okay? I've heard some of the craziest things about this Great American Eclipse. Some people may be asking this, is it a sign of judgment? Is it God trying to get the attention of America? What about the cities that all the shadows are passing, that the shadows passing through that represent something related to the Bible? Listen, folks, I don't know the answers to these questions, okay? I don't know. I'm not going to stand up here and say one way or another because I don't know what all this has to do about. But I will tell you this, all right? As many people that's going to be paying attention to the S-U-N, people better get ready and start paying attention to the S-O-N, amen? Because I'm going to tell you something, folks. This world's about to experience God in a way it's never experienced him. And so this morning, I want to give you four things that you really need to know about the S-O-N, amen? Four things you really need to know about him. Number one, first and foremost, you need to know about his deity or the fact that he is God. Amen. He is God. Now, I'm going to let the scripture speak for itself because what I'm giving you this morning is not riserology. Amen. It's the word of God. And you need to see this. And by the way, you need to get some things settled in your heart and minds. And you need to make sure that by the end of this message, you have the right relationship with the S-O-N. The Bible says, if you want to turn there, you can. If not, I'm going to go fast, machine gun style. Here we go. Amen. Matthew chapter 16. The passage of this is when Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples. And the Bible says in verse 13, Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, the Bible says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So here Jesus wanted an opinion or wanted to know what was going on. The disciples were out. They had their ears to the ground. What are people saying about me? What do they say? In verse 14, and they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And I love what Jesus was doing here, because he was throwing out what's everybody's opinion. I want to know what you personally think about me, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I want to know what you think. And by the way, folks, listen, you know what this tells us? That our decision about Jesus Christ is a personal decision. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about Christ. It doesn't matter what the opinion polls say. It doesn't matter what your family says. What do you say about Jesus Christ, the Son of God? And here's what they answered and said. And Simon Peter answered and said, notice this, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. The Son of the living God. By the way, that's the right answer right there. That's the right answer. In Matthew chapter 1, talking about the prophecy about Mary. Here's what it says in Matthew 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. John chapter 1, I love this passage. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then down in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Listen to me, folks. The Word that it's talking about, the Son that it's talking about, is Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. Hey, he existed in eternity past. He's holding together the present, and he will be the focal point of eternity future. And I want you to know something about the Son this morning. I want you to know about his deity. I want you to know that he is God. But he said this of himself in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. Hey, he was saying this about himself. Listen now, hey, my Savior wasn't just a great prophet, although he was. He wasn't just a great preacher and a teacher, although he was. He wasn't just a miracle worker, a friend of sinners and a helper of the distraught, although he was all of these things. The greatest title he's ever had or ever will have is what he said about himself, and that is the fact that he is God. He is God. By the way, that's the miracle of who he is. That the Son of God left heaven, came to earth, and became the Son of Man. Now, I've heard people say before that when Christ came to earth, he lay aside his deity. No, he did not. Absolutely not. He took on different form. He laid aside his position, but he always has been and always will be God. He was the God-man, 100% God, 100% man wrapped in flesh. You say, what's so important, preacher? Why are you getting so hyped up about the fact of his deity? I'll tell you why. Because if you don't believe that he was God, you aren't going any further in any kind of relationship with him. Because here's what he says in 1 John chapter 4. Listen to this now. He says this, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Now listen, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it's in the world. Listen now, folks, it's so important that you believe that Jesus Christ is God. Because if you don't believe that as God, he came in the flesh to this earth to accomplish the will of his Father, listen now, you can't be saved if you don't believe he's not God. Amen. Now, I'm not saying you got to completely understand it. Amen? There's a lot of things about God I don't understand. Amen? But listen, the criteria is not understanding it. The criteria is simply by faith believing it and receiving it. Amen? Now listen, folks, you don't have to understand everything about God to be able to know and experience his great salvation that he has for you. But one thing you better believe is his deity. And here's what you need to know about the Son, that he is God. He is God. Number two, not only do you need to know about his deity, you need to know about his destiny. Amen? You need to know the fact that he's God, but you also need to know why he came. You need to know why he came. Listen to these verses here, so important. Isaiah chapter 50. I was going to go there last week, but we ran out of time. Isaiah chapter 50. And these are these great prophetic passages from the Old Testament about the one day coming Messiah. Here's what it says in verse 5. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Again, this is talking about the suffering Savior, as we talked about last week in Sunday school. And then he makes this statement in verse 7 of Isaiah chapter 50. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore, notice this phrase, have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. You know what that tells us, folks? That tells us the mindset of why Jesus Christ came to this earth. Hey, he knew what his destiny was before he ever came. Amen. In fact, the Bible tells us that he was the Lamb of God slain before the foundations of the world. He knew what his destiny was before God ever reached out of nothing and made this thing that we called earth. Amen. He knew what his destiny was. He knew what he was going to have to come to do before God ever reached down from the dust of the ground and formed Adam and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and when he become a living soul. Hey, he knew what his destiny was before that moment ever happened. Amen. And you know what his destiny was? To set his face like a flint toward the will of his Father. That was his destiny. The Bible says this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son, we read this a few minutes ago, to be the Savior of the world. Jesus said of himself many times in the Gospels, Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Luke 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So to sum it up very simply, why did Jesus come some 2,000 years ago? Why did he step out of his place in heaven, humbly wrap himself in human flesh, live a perfect and sinless life, willingly giving his life by shedding his blood on the cross of Calvary and 3 days later raising from that grave? Why would the Son of God become the Son of Man? Why would he do that? What was his destiny? Very simply, you know what it was? You and me, amen? That's why he came. That was his destiny. The fact, folks, that he had a love and has a love for mankind. You know, I believe with all my heart, I believe this is true. I believe that if I were the only person on earth, Jesus Christ still would have came, still would have did all that he did, to come and suffer the way he suffered, to buy my redemption so I could be with him in heaven one of these days. I believe if you were the only person, Jesus Christ still would have came and accomplished that. Amen? Now listen, I know sometimes it's beyond grasp. I know it's hard sometimes to comprehend. But beside it all, God loves you with an unhuman comprehension. Amen? That's how much he loves you. I love the verses, Romans chapter 8. Listen to these wonderful passages of Scripture. Hey, let God minister to your heart as I read the Scripture here. Notice what he says. He asked the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? By the way, listen, sometimes Satan will get on your shoulder and he'll start whispering that in your ear. He'll start bringing doubts in your mind about the fact that, oh, there's no way God could love me. There's no way that God could have this great love for me. So he asked a question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he asked, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, that's a powerful passage of Scripture. And let me tell you something, folks. Here's what you need to know about the Son. You need to know about his deity, that he was God. But you also need to know about his destiny and why he came. And the answer to why he came is because of his great love for us. That's why he came to this earth. A lot of people may know the name of Jesus Christ, but they don't know why he came. I'm telling you why he came. The Bible's clear in why he came. He came for sinners to offer salvation. So what you really need to know about the Son, you need to know about his deity. You need to know about his destiny. Number 3, you need to know about his declaration. how this affects you. How this affects you. Because listen to me, folks. It's not just good enough to know these things. You need to know how this personally affects me. And I got good news for you, folks. It does affect you. Romans chapter 1. Listen to these verses again. Romans chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Listen now. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. This goes right back to what we preached about last week. The fact that the resurrection proved everything he said about himself. Listen, Jesus made some declarations about himself. He declared himself to be something, that he was going to do something. And we must ask ourselves, what are these declarations? How do these declarations affect me today? 1 John chapter 4, the Bible says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And I love that word, the word propitiation. It simply means to make an atonement for, to be reconciled. And what he's saying here is, listen now, hey, mankind had a problem, and that problem was sin. And something had to happen because of sin. And Jesus loved us so much that he came to this earth to make an atonement for our sin, to be the propitiation for our sin. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I love it, folks. Listen now, don't miss it. Here is the declaration of the Son of God. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Did you hear what he said right there? Did you hear what the Bible has to say about the declaration that Jesus Christ made? Don't miss this. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. By the way, you know what that word "the" is considered? It's called a definite article. A definite article. By the way, he didn't say, I am a way. It's not what he said. He didn't say, I am a truth. I am a life. Oh, I'm just another option in the midst of a bunch of things out there. That's not what he said. No, he said very singularly, listen now, hey, there's not another way. There's not another truth. There's not another life. I am it. I am it. And that's why, folks, listen, the declaration he made that if you're going to the Father, you're going through him or you're not going at all. Oh, that's pretty narrow-minded in 2024. Oh, yeah. You better believe it, amen. Man, you're just a narrow-minded preacher. Yes, I am, amen. I'm about as narrow-minded as this King James Bible right here. That's how narrow-minded I am, amen. And by the way, you better be too. You better be too, amen. John chapter 3, come on now, famous verses. We've heard them. Let's hear what Jesus said when he was talking to Nicodemus. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. By the way, the world through him, not through Buddha, not through Muhammad, not through other religions of the world, through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. If your belief and faith is in Jesus Christ, you're not condemned by God. I'm so thankful for that. Listen, I deserve to be condemned. You know why? Because I'm a stinking, wicked, rotten sinner. Amen. By the way, so are you. Amen. We all are. Mankind, every single man, person that's ever been born, ever will be born, all of humankind, all of mankind, all have one thing in common. That's our stinking, wicked, rotten sin. Amen. But you know what? Even though I'm a sinner, I'm not condemned. You know why I'm not condemned? Because of Jesus Christ. And my faith and trust in him because of his declaration. He said this, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And then Jesus said this in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. By the way, I love that word. It doesn't say will have everlasting life. No, you know what it says? Hath. You know what that means? It's a present possession. So that means this. When you get saved, God immediately, this moment you accept Christ as Savior, gives you eternal life. Eternal life. Now thank God it's not eternal life on this earth, in this body. I don't want to live forever in this body. Okay, this body gave me problems this week. Okay? It gave you problems. Physical problems. Okay? I had to get up this morning and take my gout medicine. You know why? Because if I don't take that stupid, crazy stuff, my right foot starts swelling up. I start hobbling around like I'm 90 years old. You know why? Because I got to deal with stuff, okay? And that's very minor compared to what some of you deal with. I understand that. I mean, I'm not complaining, right? But you know what? We got to deal with stuff, don't we? We got to deal with this life. But there's coming a day where, guess what? We don't have to, because we have right now everlasting life. Not in this body, but in something way more than you could ever imagine, in a place far beyond your wildest imagination, amen? All because of Jesus Christ. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. By the way, think about that, what that's saying. As much as you have the present possession of eternal life, people who don't, the Bible says God's wrath abides on them. By the way, folks, listen, that's not me looking down at anybody and shaking my finger at anybody. That is me saying, hey, Lord, that used to be me. It's not anymore. God, use me so other people cannot have your wrath upon their life. That's what it's about. Amen. Here's what Jesus Christ declared about himself. He declared, I am God come in the flesh. Mankind, you have a sin problem. I am as God come to atone for your sin by shedding my blood on the cross of Calvary and raising from the grave. And the only hope, mankind, you have of being forgiven and going to heaven is by putting your faith and trust in me and me alone. That was the declaration of Jesus Christ. You need to know that about the Son this morning. Amen. You need to know that he, his deity, the fact that he's God. You need to go know about his destiny of why he came. You need to know about his declaration and how it affects you. And then let me share one more point with you this morning. You need to know about his damnation and how to escape it. Now listen, folks, we've talked about his love, mercy, and grace. Man, thank God for that. I love preaching on that. But let me tell you something. I wouldn't be a preacher worth my salt if I didn't warn you about the other side of the sun that you don't want to know nothing about. And a lot of preachers won't even touch it with a 10-foot pole. Let's let the Word of God speak, amen? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. Listen to what the Bible says. Listen to what it says. Here's what it says. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken of the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? You know what he's talking about? He's talking about, listen, Jesus spoke about this, and you know what? The apostles and those that wrote the Word of God, they've affirmed what he said. Amen? And listen, folks, did you hear what it said? That was first begin to be spoken of by the Lord. You realize Jesus preached and taught more on hell than he did heaven? You realize he warned people about coming eternal damnation more than he talked about the blessings of eternal life? You know why? Because he wanted mankind to understand there's something bad that's going to happen to you if you don't turn to me and me alone, and I'm the only way, I'm the only escape plan there is. John 3:18, let me go back and read this verse. I know I read it, but again, listen. By the way, follows the most famous verse in all the world, talking about God's love for mankind and that he sent his only begotten Son and that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But listen to this verse. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And then Jesus sums it up by saying this at the end of that chapter, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's how simple it is, folks. You either have Jesus Christ and are going to experience life, or you reject Jesus Christ and you will experience eternal death. Okay, let me show you another passage. Go to Psalm. I want you to see this one. Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2. This is a psalm that is talking about how things are going to be during the millennium. And when Jesus Christ will come back to this earth and he's going to rule and reign and he's going to make every wrong right. Amen. No more crooked politicians when Jesus Christ is here to rule and reign. Amen? None of this garbage that we have to deal with now as we're trying to figure out about electing people and all this other stuff we have to go through. And by the way, I'm thankful for my country. I'm thankful I get to live, by the way, in a constitutional republic. Amen? Let's get it right. Not a democracy, a constitutional republic. Okay? Every time you say that Pledge of Allegiance, you say that. Amen? right? No, that's what we live in. That's what our forefathers gifted us, was a constitutional republic. Let's get it right. Amen? Let's get it right. Listen, we got to deal with this stuff. I get all that. I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for being American. I wouldn't want to live in any other place on this planet. I love America, but we got our problems. We got our problems. Our political system's broken. Let's be honest. Okay? I'm telling you, one of these days, it's going to get fixed. And the only way it's getting fixed is not what's going to happen in November, but what happens when King Jesus comes back and sets up his millennial kingdom. And this passage you read here is a prophetic passage about the millennial kingdom. Now, I don't have time to teach through it all, but let me just read it to you because I'm going somewhere. I'm getting to the very last verse, verse 12. Well, let's start reading in verse 6, okay? Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. That hasn't happened yet. It's going to. Thou shalt break them with the rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about the fact that when Jesus Christ rules and reigns, there's going to be perfect justice. Perfect justice. Amen. By the way, if you understand prophecy, a third of the earth's population will survive the tribulation period. After the tribulation period, we're entering into the kingdom age, 1,000 years where Christ will rule and reign. The earth will be completely repopulated during that 1,000 years. And Jesus Christ will be the king of everything. And every faithful Christian that's been faithful now will help him by ruling and reigning. We will be the government of Jesus Christ on this earth for that 1,000 year during the millennium. That's a whole nother Bible study. I'm not going any deeper into it than that. But all that to say, it will be perfect justice during that time. Okay? You break God's law, he's ruling with the rod of iron. There ain't no slapping on your wrist. There ain't no being released from prison after 21 times and murdering someone that's innocent. Wicked as hell. Cannot believe the things that are happening in our country. Ain't none of that going on when King Jesus reigns. You know why? Because he's ruling with the rod of iron. Now let's keep going. Verse 10. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoicing and trembling. Look at the last phrase, verse 12. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. And ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. You know what that's saying? You're not going to be messing with King Jesus. And not only are you not messing with him, you better serve him and humble yourself before him. You don't want to face his wrath, is what that verse is saying. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. That's the side of Jesus Christ nobody wants to talk about nowadays. Now again, do we ought to talk about his love, mercy, grace, and truth? Oh yeah, I'm all about it, amen? Let me just remind you something, okay? Jesus, as the King of the earth, is holy. He's righteous, amen? He doesn't wink at sin. He's not okay with people just, you know, figuring him out, doing it their way when it comes to what the Bible clearly says and doesn't say. That's not who King Jesus is, amen? And we need that. We need to understand that side because I'm telling you, folks, listen, you need to understand the side of Jesus and the fact that there's some damnation about him. Let me remind us all this morning of this, okay? Every single person that ever has been or ever will face Jesus Christ in a day of judgment. Now, if you're saved here this morning, you will not face him to give an account of your sin. I'm thankful for that. Amen. All that sin was judged on Christ when he died on Calvary. And in our eyes, in God's eyes, mankind is now justified. It's a legal term. It means just as if we've never sinned. You know why? Because Jesus Christ paid the price for us on Calvary. But as Christians, we will have to stand before him and give an account of how we lived our life on this earth. That's why it does matter what you do and what you don't do. It matters. Amen. It matters. It matters whether or not you take the Bible serious and obey it. It matters that you don't treat the Bible like a buffet line. I'll take this and leave that. Oh, no, no. Listen, hey, the whole counsel of God. Amen. You know why it matters? Because you're going to give an account to Jesus Christ one of these days of your stewardship as a Christian. And by the way, your eternal rewards will be based upon your stewardship right now on earth. So it matters, amen? But listen, folks, there's no condemnation at that judgment seat. But I'm going to tell you, there's another judgment seat where, let me tell you something, people will face the damnation of the one sitting on the throne. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Amen. I'm not making this stuff up, okay? I'm not going off on some Pastor Reiser rant. This is the Bible I'm preaching this morning, okay? First of all, listen to what this verse says. John chapter 5, verse 22. For the Father judgeth no man. Did you understand that, folks? One of these days when we are judged, God the Father is not doing the judging. Now, I know we're going to stand before God, and we are, because we're standing before Jesus Christ, and He is God. Here's what the Bible says, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. So one of these days, folks, listen now. Hey, you, by the way, the reason Jesus Christ judges everything, because the book of Revelation tells us why. He's the only one worthy to do it. Revelation chapter 4, John was weeping because no one was found worthy in heaven. No angel, no other created being, nothing was found worthy on earth to open that book and to judge the earth except one, the Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the earth. He alone is worthy, amen? Let me tell you, He has earned the right because of who He is and what He's done to be the judge of all. And He's going to. The Bible says He's going to. Revelation chapter 20. You there? Okay. To me, folks, this is the most sobering passage in all of the Bible. This, to me, is the most sobering truth, the most motivational truth. If there's anything that ought to get you fired up as a Christian to be what God has you to be, it ought to be these verses right here. Here's what He says. Revelation chapter 20. I read these verses often here. You're not a stranger to these verses because you have a pastor that keeps this before you. Revelation chapter 20, notice what He says, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. This is King Jesus, by the way. Okay, this is the damnation of the Son you don't want a part of. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. See, he's God right there. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. You realize God is keeping very, very detailed, accurate records. You realize that? Okay? God is recording everything. By the way, does He do that because He might forget? Oh, no. He's doing that for the sake of everybody that's going to face Him one of these days. Because it's going to be recorded as God opens the books and shows those before Him what the books have to say. By the way, the first book that God opened was the book of life. What's that book? That's the book that if you get saved, your name gets written in the Lamb's book of life. By the way, the book of life is different than the Lamb's book of life. The book of life is a record of every person that's ever been born or ever will be born. All the trillions of people from 6,000 years of human history that's ever been alive, their name goes in that book of life. That's how much God knows about everything. Okay? By the way, if your name's only in the book of life, that's not good enough to get you to heaven. Because listen, folks, you don't want your name just in the book of life. You want your name in the Lamb's book of life. Okay? And by the way, when you get saved, your name gets recorded in that book. And by the way, it doesn't get recorded with lead that can be erased. Okay? I don't know what kind of ink God uses, but it's non-erasable. Okay, it's not that stupid gimmick ink that disappears after a while. No, it is permanent. So that being said, when you get saved, your name is not just in the book of life, then it gets recorded in the Lamb's book of life, and you want your name there, amen? Because when this book gets open, folks, God is keeping accurate detail. So He first of all looks in the book of life. Then the Bible says that the dead were judged out of those things were written in the books. Books, plural. You know what that means? Everything we've ever done is recorded. And God's going to open those books, and based upon the deeds of a person, they're getting judged. By the way, not to determine whether or not they're going to heaven, that's already been decided. To determine how severity their punishment is going to be in the lake of fire. That's why the books are open. Because you know what? God's a just God. If a person, let's say they live a life and they, in man's standard, lived a pretty good life, even though truth be told, compared to God, nobody lives a good life. We're all wicked as hell, amen? But let's say, you know, comparative here. Let's say a person lives a pretty good life and then there's Hitler. Okay, listen, Hitler's going to have a hotter hell, a hotter lake of fire, a hotter punishment than someone who just, in man's standard, lived a pretty good life. God's fair. God's just. That's why the books are open. That's why they're judged, every man according to their works. Amen? And then look what else it says in verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15, to me, here it is. The most sobering, saddest verse in all the Bible. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know what that's called? The damnation of the Son. You don't want to experience that. You don't want to experience that. And I got good news for you this morning. We're going to end on a very positive note. Amen. You don't have to experience that. You know why you don't have to experience the damnation of the Son? Because of his deity, because of his destiny, and because of his declaration. Jesus Christ offers to everybody eternal life. And as long as you're still breathing, and as long as that trumpet hasn't sounded yet, hey, there's still time. Now, I don't know how much time's left, okay? I'm not a prophet. I don't know the day, I don't know the hour, neither is anybody else, amen? But all that being said, there's coming a day where, guess what? Opportunity's over. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, you are in deep trouble. Amen? So that being said this morning, amen, the Son, what you need to know about him, okay? He loves you. He shed his blood for you. He died for you. He rose from the grave for you. He wants to save you. And if you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, I'm begging you. Listen, if I could make you, I would, but I can't. I'm begging you, please accept Jesus Christ today before it's eternally too late. By the way, once you've been saved, you don't need to get saved again. Amen? Because when he saves you, remember I said that book, it ain't no invisible ink, okay? It's not written in lead. When you get saved, your name gets recorded, and guess what? It's there until the day it will always be there. Amen? Recorded in the annals of heaven, sealed in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm thankful for that, by the way. Amen? And so listen, if you're saved, you don't need to get saved again. But if you're not saved, I'm begging you, please, please, please get saved. Because I'm telling you, folks, as much as this world is paying attention to the S-U-N, we better be paying attention to the S-O-N. Because this world's about ready to find out what it's all about. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much, Jesus, for being what you are for us. Lord, we'll never repay the debt. Lord, but we ought to do our best to live a life that brings you glory and honor. Not to be saved, Lord, but to just reflect a little bit of praise back to you. Thank you for being our Savior. Thank you, Lord, as we talked about this morning. Thank you for your deity. Thank you for your destiny. Thank you for your declaration. And Lord, because of that, we don't have to face your damnation. And Lord, I pray if someone's here this morning that's not saved, God, please, would you, Holy Spirit, do what I can't. That's work on the heart. And I pray that you draw them close to yourself. I pray that you bless our time of invitation now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together this morning. And as we do every Sunday, the invitation songs play it. And listen, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the message of the Word of God.